It's actually good to be back. It's good to be on holiday and to rest and relax and just be able to enjoy God's presence without having to do things. But it's actually nice to be back as well. And I've missed you and we've not forgotten you. And it was lovely because the time scale was the same. We could remember you at the right time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Not like in India when, you know, we might have been in bed when you were doing something. It was the same time, so we were able to remember you. One of the books I decided to take with me, because I always take some books, not many books, because they're heavy, aren't they? But a few days before I went, I just felt that it'd be good to take The Shack with me. And I'll be reading a bit of that later. Something that's been going on round my head for quite a time is really what I wanted to speak to you about. It is one of the truths of the Bible, one of the truths that we all know and we all think that we believe. Yeah, we think, yeah, we know it. But if we really, really believed it, we wouldn't be the same as we are now. And the truth that I want to talk about is just so simple. God is good. Yeah, we say all the time, but actually it is so much easier to say it when things are going well. When everything, as it says in the song, when the sun is shining on me, it's easy to say that God is good. Because we notice his blessings, don't we? When things are going well, we notice what he's doing. But there are times when actually we find it very difficult to say. And sometimes when we won't even say it. And we have a little strop with God. And we judge God. And in our hearts, we say, you're not good. And we even, dare I say, we try and punish him for that. We say, well, I won't have anything to do with you for a little while. I'm not going to pray just yet. I'm going to have my bit of self-pity. I'm not going to go to church today, or I'm not going to go to house group because I'm hurt, God. You say that you're good, but I'm hurting. And we have that strop, don't we? And we push God away. And we push other people away. And all this talk about God is good. Well, suppose it's true. But it jolly well doesn't feel like it. But actually, it is true. It is the truth that God is good. All the time, yeah. The trouble is that we don't really understand goodness. You see, we say, how can God be good when bad things happen? And bad things happen to good people. And they happen just arbitrarily. Somebody just gets knocked over by a drunk driver. All sorts of terrible things happen in this world. Children are abused. People are raped, murdered, manipulated. All sorts of awful things. Terrible sicknesses, disease. All sorts of bad things happen. And so the world says, and we too sometimes say, how can God be good when this happens? That's what we say, don't we, at those times. But it's because we don't understand God. We don't understand his love for us. Nothing bad, nothing evil originates with God. God does not have an evil thought, any evil actions. There is nothing bad in God at all. All the evil, all the badness in the world comes from elsewhere. It doesn't come from God. But we attribute it to him so often. He is good through and through. When he made the world, he said, it's good. It's very good. And man was made to enjoy God forever. That was God's intention. That's how God made the world. He didn't put sin and disease and sickness in the world. It came, didn't it, with Satan, who questioned, is God good? And he managed to persuade Eve that maybe God wasn't good. And maybe it'd be better if she took the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Maybe she knows, she would know then what was good and what was bad. Maybe she'd be a better person to rule the world, to be independent of God, to decide what is good and what is bad. But that was never God's intention. God's intention was that we should enjoy him forever. So it's hard sometimes to really believe that God is good, because there is so much evil in the world and none of us are immune from it. However good a life we lead, there is sin all around us and it can affect us. And God does not protect us from all the evil around us. We are still have to live in the world, even though we are not of the world. And awful things happen to good people. And God doesn't always stop it, does he? And God doesn't heal everyone that is suffering from sickness and disease. And we want to call him to account, don't we, at times? And this book that I was reading, a lot of you have read The Shack. It's a fiction. It's a made-up story. It's about a man called Mac. A man who is struggling, really struggling with this problem. How can God be good? Because something awful happened to him. Several years before the story starts, his youngest daughter, Missy, is kidnapped and taken to a remote shack and murdered there. And her blood-stained clothes were found there. Her body wasn't discovered. And Mac cannot forgive himself for not being there for his daughter. And he can't forgive God either for not being there. And he struggles with this problem. And then he has an encounter with God. He has a weekend with God. At the end of the story, we find out that actually he had a near fatal accident. So we're left wondering, what was this encounter? Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Was it a near-death experience? We don't know. But he goes back to this shack. And there, everything changes, and suddenly it's not the dreadful shack that he saw before with the bloodstains where his daughter Missy was hurt. It's a place where God is. And he encounters three persons of the Trinity there. He encounters Papa, Father God, as an African woman. And he encounters Jesus as a young man of 30. And he encounters the Holy Spirit as a sort of floaty woman. And he notices how they relate to each other in love and harmony. But he's still got things at the back of his mind. And Jesus takes him on a journey. And he walks with Jesus through the countryside and to a cave. And he knows that he's got to go into the cave by himself. And he goes into the cave. And there he sees a woman who is like wisdom personified. And he's told by her that he's come here for judgment. So Max says, well, am I dead then? Am I dead? And the woman says, no, you're not dead. So he says, well, that's not fair then. Why am I being judged? If I'm not dead, because I'll change, I'll be better. And the woman says, no, you misunderstand. You are the judge. And Mac is really taken aback and he's not at all sure that he wants to be the judge. And he almost fearfully asks, well, who am I to judge? And the woman says, oh, God and the human race. He really doesn't know what to think. And he says, but the woman says, but it's easy, you've been doing that. You've been doing that all your life. What's the problem? And I'm going to read a bit to you. Because he's struggling with the idea of having to judge. And the woman says to him, and what about the man who preys on innocent little girls? What about him, Mackenzie? Is that man guilty? Should he be judged? Yes! Screamed Mac. Damn him to hell! Is he to blame for your loss? Yes! What about his father, the man who twisted his son into a terror? What about him? Yes! Him too! How far do we go back, Mackenzie? This legacy of brokenness goes all the way back to Adam. What about him? But why stop there? What about God? God started this whole thing. Is God to blame? Mac was reeling. He didn't feel like a judge at all, but rather the one on trial. The woman was unrelenting. Isn't this where you're stuck, Mackenzie? Isn't this what fuels the great sadness? That God cannot be trusted. Surely a father like you can judge the father. And then she continues, isn't that your just complaint, Mackenzie, that God failed you, that he failed Missy, that before the creation God knew that one day your Missy would be brutalized, and still he created, and then allowed that twisted soul to snatch her from your loving arms when he had the power to stop him? Isn't God to blame, Mackenzie? And she rings out of him, yes, God is to blame. And then the woman says, well, if you can judge God so easily, certainly you'll be able to judge the world. She points out that God is the judge that judges children. So maybe he would like to judge his children. His own children, he knows those. after all. And she says, maybe you would like to judge your own children. Got 5 children. Not all of them are worthy. Which 2 are you going to send to heaven? And which 3 are you going to send to hell? Judge them, Mackenzie. And he's in torture. He says, I can't. You're expecting me. How can I judge my children? I can't judge my children. I love them. They're each unique. They're each different. How can I judge them? And he screams, I can't. I won't. And now the words and emotions came tumbling out. And the woman just stood watching and waiting. And finally he looked at her. Couldn't I go instead? If you need to torture someone for eternity, I'll go in their place. Would that work? Could I do that? And he fell at her feet, crying and begging now, please let me go for my children. Please, I would be happy to. Please, I'm begging you. Please, please. And then she says, Mackenzie, now you sound like Jesus. You've judged well. And he said, but I didn't judge. I didn't judge. But he said, yes. She said, yes. You judged that your children were worthy of love. Even if it cost you everything. And Mackenzie begins to understand that Jesus does love, and he says, I understand that, but God's different. God the Father's different. And the woman wisdom says, maybe your understanding of God is wrong. And Mackenzie says, maybe I just don't see how God loved Missy perfectly. So she says, well, the judgment will have to continue. And Max says, what am I supposed to think? I just don't understand how God could love Missy and let her go through that horror. She was innocent. She didn't do anything to deserve that. I know, the woman said. God use her to punish me for what I did to my father. That's not fair. She didn't deserve this. My wife, Nan, didn't deserve this. And tears streamed down his face. I might have, but they didn't. Is that who your God is, Mackenzie? It's no wonder you're drowning in your sorrow. Papa isn't like that, Mackenzie. God's not punishing you or Missy or Nan. This was not his doing. But he didn't stop it. No, he didn't. And he doesn't stop lots of things that cause him pain. Your world is severely broken. You demanded your independence. And now you're angry with the one who loved you enough to give it you. Nothing is as it should be, as Papa desires it to be, and as it will be one day. Right now your world is lost in darkness and chaos, and horrible things happen to those that he is especially fond of. Then why doesn't he do something about it? He already has. You mean what Jesus did? Yes, and haven't you seen the wounds on Papa too? I didn't understand them. How could he? For love, he chose the way of the cross where mercy triumphs over justice. Would you prefer he'd chosen justice for everyone? Do you want justice? Dear judge? No, I don't, he said. Not for me and not for my children. But I still don't understand why Missy had to die. She didn't have to, Mackenzie. This was no plan of Papa's. Papa has never needed evil to accomplish his good purpose. It is you humans who have embraced evil, and Papa has responded with goodness. What happened to Missy was the work of evil, and no one in your world is immune from it. But it hurts so much. There must be a better way. There is. You just can't see it now. Return from your independence, Mackenzie. Give up being his judge. And know Papa for who he is. Then you'll be able to embrace his love in the midst of your pain, instead of pushing him away with your self-centered perception of how you think the universe should be. Papa has crawled inside of your world to be with you, to be with Missy. Mac stood up from the chair. I don't want to be a judge anymore. I really do want to trust Papa. You see, so often we judge, don't we? We judge God and we judge one another. And we do not know everything there is to know about situations, do we? And God does. It was never God's intention that we should be judges. He said to Adam and Eve, "Don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil." I've not made you to judge. He's not made us all knowing. He hasn't given us that understanding. And it's not for us to judge each other or to judge him. So I've got several pleas. P-L-E-A-S. Not the neon. That I really wanted to say from that. The first one is to really try and believe that God is good, even when life is hard. And a plea not to push God away at that time. God really, really, really wants relationship with us. He wants to be there, to put his arms around us, to comfort us. In the hard times, even more so, he's longing to be there for us. So don't push him away when life is hard. And don't push other people away when life is hard. Sometimes we need to share our sorrows. We are not only called on to rejoice with others when they rejoice, but also to mourn and to weep with each other when that's appropriate. So if someone asks you how you are and life is awful at that moment, find someone that you share that with, that you can talk about it, not press it down, not pretend it's not there, but to share those times, to be honest, not only with God, but with each other. And another plea I have is a plea for us to listen to one another. so that if someone does share the hurts they're going through, we don't come up with a quick and easy answer. Because it's not nice to hear about hurt, is it? But I want to make a plea that we will listen to one another and be there for each other. Because God has made us a body. He's made us a family. He's put us for each other. And he wants to use each other to bring his love, as someone has said, with skin on. He wants us to be able to give out his love to each other. So it's a plea that we will share, a plea that we will listen. We've got the prayer area. It's there every week. When life is tough, ask for prayer. You can always ask for a visit. You know, the leaders of this church want to serve you. We are there to help. Dave's there on a Friday. I don't know whether it's still at that time, but it's we're there to help. We want to be there for you, not just in the good times, but all the time. We're supposed to be a family, and we need to be there for each other. I've had a feeling that, I know before we went on holiday, there were lots of difficult situations around. And it seems as though it's a time when God's not where we want him to be sometimes. People that we love are making bad decisions, and all sorts of things are happening that are not good. And God wants us to be strong in it as a fellowship. He wants us to be there for each other. So that's my plea, that God actually is good all the time. And let others, each of us, help to make that a reality, even in the difficult times. So that's my plea. I think it'd be good just, I don't know whether we could sing something like the refrain, "I will trust in you alone," from "The Lord's My Shepherd," that we will just be in that place. And if anybody feels, well, yeah, I do want prayer, just to go to the back, because there are people around that will pray for you, will listen. And just let the truth that actually God is good, and he does love you. His plans for you are good.